Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. All right, guys, here we go. It is Carl and Crew, and we're off to the races here today. It's 5:01. That's our time. Beautiful morning out there.
What's your best birthday memory? Do you have a birthday that stands out in your mind?
No.
None?
No. How about
really?
You? You got a great one? I can't think of one this morning right off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think. I remember my parents threw me a surprise party when I was in high school, but it was really hard to surprise me because I kept like almost stumbling, and then people started showing up early and they were trying to, you know, when people are desperately trying to save a plan that's kind of falling apart.
Oh, no.
So you found out about it before?
No, they still managed. I didn't put all
somehow
the pieces together.
Somehow you were surprised.
So somehow I was still surprised. So that was the only time they were ever able to surprise me, but it was a surprise party in high school.
Oh,
it was
pretty cool. Special.
That's fun. Good party for you guys.
Yeah, I had a surprise party as well when I turned 16, and my parents took me out, and they kind of made it seem like they planned a really bad one, you know, like they took me out for dinner, and then my brother was like,
that's a bad one?
Yeah, well, no, then they were like, my brother was like, I gotta go, and so, like, he left for work, and so it was just me sitting with my parents on my 16th birthday, and I'm like, we're not going to do anything. And then we came home and everybody was in my house. And one of the people that yelled surprise, I came in through the garage and the staircase was right to the left. And this person jumped out and goes, surprise. And I ran. I turned around and booked it. And I tripped over myself in the garage and like hit my head on the garage floor.
No.
Oh
my goodness.
And I was totally fine, so that's why it's a really funny story. But oh man, it was the best.
Oh,
and
then goodness. So
I was
funny.
Like, okay, my parents got me really good.
That's eventful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is eventful, man.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a good time.
What about you guys, Sputnik?
I think for me, it was the first time my husband met everyone was at my 25th birthday party, and I had it at Green Street Meats. Have you ever been there?
Green Street Meats.
It's a place down on the West Loop, and so we went, and it's like a barbecue place, has good brisket, and literally all my friends showed up, and it was the first time John met everyone, and it's just like a special time
great.
In my heart.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
John, first time you met all your buddies.
Everyone showed up. Oh. Like everyone. So it was really cool.
That is great.
Very cool.
Super Die, what about you? Birthday.
I'm with you. Nothing really stands out. Yeah. No.
I remember a licorice drum cake. It's the biggest thing that stands out to me.
What's a licorice drum cake?
Licorice made the ropes look like ropes on a drummer boy drum.
Oh, okay.
And I was a little guy, but I remember that stuck out to me. I think the cake was awful, but it looked great.
Licorice and cake. It sounds like
about that combination.
It was interesting. Yeah. Well, big news today. Blue Origin is launching off here in about 3 hours.
Yeah.
Bezos is going into space, and he's taking his brother with him.
And two other people.
Yeah. One elderly woman. Yeah, she's elderly. Way older than me, I think. And then we got an 18-year-old kid, youngest kid to ever be in space.
That's cool.
Going in space today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's the first flight that doesn't have a pilot to it.
Really?
So, yeah, well, like the first like crew flight, and it doesn't have like a pilot operating.
It's
all civilian, yeah.
So anybody can jump on that thing?
Basically, anybody could jump on it, and it'd be fine because
Is it controlled down here?
It might be.
They don't do anything in space at all? They just sit
there? No, they're just going to sit there. So it's the first civilian crew that does not have a pilot with it.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, so that's happening today at, I think, 8 a.m. Central, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 7. Leaving Texas. Not Cape Canaveral. You can leave anywhere now. You might leave out of the Moody parking lot scene next time.
If you get the crew here, you could leave out of here.
Yeah, you might. Okay, guys, this is Kerry Jobe. It's called The Blessing. Good morning, Boom Crew. Coming up here, we're talking celebration all week long today, celebrating getting healthy. We got a passage for you. Hang on.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. We have a giveaway going on. I want to make sure you know about this. Is a big one.
Big one, man.
This is going to be a trip for four to the nation's capital. You're going to go to D.C. Airfare's covered, hotels covered, and Museum of the Bible tickets are covered. So just text the word road. It's on the road again, kind of our summer giveaway. So text road to 312-274-9624. I mentioned airfare is covered, right? So you're not actually having to drive all the way to D.C.
Yeah, that would be good.
Text the word road to 312-274-9624.
This thing's for four people?
Four people. This is great. So that's you and your spouse, if you've got children or if you've got a couple of friends you want to take along. Great giveaway.
I got a question for you. In the rules, Super Die, do you know if they win it and they can't use it or they want to try to win this for someone else? Is that something you can do?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Well, get your name in the hopper, because even if this is something that you don't want to do, I'll bet you our rules department would let you give it away. I mean, if you win this thing,
it's yours to do.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So try to get your name in here, guys. Road to 312-274-9624. What a gift. And think about a power gift. 312-274-9624. Just the word road. 5:15 is the time. Got a question for you, and it's a fun one because it's dealing with an aspect of our life that we don't talk a lot about. But let me give you some notes from a commentator named Barnes on this whole issue of watch your life and doctrine closely, or yourself and your teaching. Let me read it right out of the ESV. Keeping a close watch on yourself, Paul tells Timothy, and on your teaching. Why? Persist in this. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is fascinating. I hadn't seen Barnes' take on this until last night, but take a listen to this. Take heed unto thyself. This may be understood as relating to everything of personal nature that would qualify him for his work. Mm. It may be applied to personal piety, to health, to manners, to habits of living, to temper, to ruling purposes, to the contact with others in relation to personal religion. A minister should take heed. Whoa.
Interesting.
That's pretty powerful.
Now, I'm just looking a little bit further up in this same little section, yeah. A couple verses where it talks about bodily training is some value. Do you think there's any connection?
Well, the interesting thing here is he uses this metaphor of have nothing to do with the irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness of every way. And then it goes on to talk about, that's what's highlighted most in my scriptures here. It goes on to talk about how to do that. But Barnes and most of the guys with the original language here look at this and go, what Paul's aiming at is to have a well-rounded Timothy so that he is looking at every aspect of his life. But he's not training like in a boxing ring. He's training spiritually for the totality of his life.
So today we're talking about getting healthy, and right now getting healthy fitness-wise, your physical health. We want to ask you, has God given you some victory? He's helped you take some steps forward in the area of physical health. We want to celebrate that with you. So give us a call, 312-274-9624. What's God doing in your physical health? 312-274-9624.
Mary from Porter, Indiana. Tell us, sister, God gave you some victory physically. Let's hear it.
Yes, he did. Thanks. Pre-COVID, a little out of weight. During COVID, more overweight and really out of shape. Go to the doctor after COVID. Have to go on high blood pressure medicine. I'm like, doc, I'm getting off this as quick as I can. And she's like, okay, you know. So jet forward about, I don't know, a few months later here. And I've dropped 35 pounds. I'm in the best physical fitness that I have been in many years.
Aww.
Hiking. I just did the Three Dune Challenge out here in Porter, Indiana. I'm really apt and able, and I praise God for health.
That's cool. Hey, to someone out there battling, Mary, that has felt like they're under a wave of condemnation because they feel like they got to do this, what would you advise them to do, first steps, so that they're not getting frustrated and losing this battle?
I would say, first of all, start with prayer, but then also think about doing it for your health. Do it for yourself, nobody else. And don't you have to surround yourself with people who are positive and uplifting. You don't want the sabotagers. You don't want the people who want to sit on the couch and eat chips. You want to get involved with some people who are active and go join the group exercise groups at the club if you can, or at a health club, or just do it at home on Zoom kind of things, whatever you can. But being around some people lifting you up, and especially of people who are believers around you.
Yes, wow, they can pray with you. Yeah, that's right on. Mary from Porter, sister, you're in the booth.
Oh, that was great.
Crew. Hello, Mary.
Guys, I want to do this. Mary said something, a couple of things that were profound. Start with prayer. Mm-hmm. Number two, the thing that I think we need to highlight here is, listen, we find it over and over again. Bad company corrupts morals. Here's a reality. The principle here is, if you want to stop being a couch potato, you're going to have to pull yourself away. This isn't discounting, dismissing, or being mean to people. But if your primary relationships are people that are content to be couch potatoes, you won't get off the couch. That's a hard thing to hear, but it's true in life, in anything. So you might have to just... That doesn't mean you say, oh, you're horrible people. It means I'm going to spend some more time with people that are maybe out there battling to get on that track and pray. And that's hard to hear, but I don't mean that in a mean way at all. It's just a practical way. We got to get around people that are going to help us get a win here.
I mean, that's a principle that applies to just about anything.
Everything.
Any kind of discipline or change that you're looking to make.
Anything.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
We are ready to rumble today. We're having a lot of fun. We're talking on this birthday celebration. 95 years old we are this week. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I think we're looking pretty good for 95.
I think so, too.
Not bad at all. Mm-hmm. How you feeling, though, Sputnik?
I'm feeling pretty good. Here's the thing. Somebody on Instagram...
Oh, no.
Asked if
you're in here, you're multitasking. You need to know something, Boom Crew. This is amazing. She's running the board. She's talking on the microphone. She wasn't even looking at me. She's looking at her phone while she's talking and scrolling her phone.
You're too kind.
What are you doing?
Well, Kevin just said 95 years. Wow. So Carl was just a kid when Moody Radio started.
Oh.
Ouch.
Okay. Who is this guy?
His name is Kevin.
What? Whoa.
Kevin Cradens.
Okay, Kevin Cradens. May the fleas of a thousand deserts infest your armpits. Little imprecatory prayer for Kevin.
Oh boy.
Just because we love you.
Yeah.
That was a good shot. It'd be actually.
It was pretty good, man. I had to think about it for. I was like, wait a second.
Hold
no.
What did he say?
He just called
Carl
old.
Just a kid. He just called me 115 or better.
Yeah.
Well.
It's pretty brutal.
It's rough.
It's okay. Rough. It's a rough workplace around here. It's a rough work environment. Should get hazard pay.
Oh, my.
7:05 is our time. It's Carl and Crew, and we are talking fitness today as well. Now, this is tough. And I really want to let you off the hook on this one. I really do. I feel like there is nothing that the evil spirits of Satan and all of his demonic forces really want to do than beat up people who are feeling like they're losing in the area of physical fitness.
Oh, no question. There's a lot of shame and guilt. And I know for women in particular, is it for men too?
You know, that's a great question. I know for women in particular, as a pastor, my heart just goes out to women because I feel like there's maybe an added pressure there. But I'll say this for men. I know men that just feel just hammered with guilt and sadness and shame. Yeah, just because they're not in the physical shape that they could be,
or maybe
quite candidly.
Once were.
Or once were or want to be. But I want to take the pressure off and just tell you, listen to me. Right now, I need you to listen to me. I need you to listen to not Carl, the radio host. I need you to listen to Carl, the pastor. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the way to approach this conversation on this whole issue of physical fitness is to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and block out any of this noise that is condemning. So if you hear condemning thoughts, you need to reject those in the name of Jesus. You just have to. This is important, isn't it, guys?
I think so.
Huge.
I think because, you know, it can feel like you're out of control when you have any kind of health issues that is out of your control.
Yeah.
And it's important to talk to God about
it. Yeah, it really is. Now, That being said, we want to be able to tackle the whole life. And let me show you why. Read this one, Allie.
This is 1 Timothy 4:16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This, of course, was Paul to Timothy.
Yeah, and this is important because what do we find here? We find that when it says, and I love the New American Standard, it says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Here's what's funny. The ESV, I think, has the doctrine piece translated rightly. It's teaching. It's not just you got your doctrinal statements.
Right.
It's got, you've got your teachings right. The New American Standard has this life aspect right. Barnes says, this is a theologian that's long gone on to his reward. By the way, he passed away in 1870, a long time ago.
Yeah.
This is what he said. He says, when it's take heed unto yourself or watch your life, he says this. This may be understood as relating to everything of the personal nature that would qualify him for his work, Paul teaching to Timothy, of course. It may be applied to personal piety, to health, to manners, to habits of living. Isn't that fascinating?
Wow, yeah.
So we got to make sure that we're looking at the Christian life should be full-orbed. It should be well-rounded. That's why we can't ignore physical fitness.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
We got a special guest with us right now.
He's known as Coach JC, Jonathan Keneally. He's an entrepreneur, author, motivational speaker, life coach, performance coach. He's launched 5 companies and a nonprofit within the fitness, personal development, and business arena. He's also authored a couple books. Got a pretty cool story.
He's got a really cool story. Let's get to it. Good morning, Coach JC. How are you, my man?
Come on. Good morning, Dream Team. I am living the dream. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we want to hear something right out of the chute here, JC. Tell us your story. You've been transformed by the power of Christ. Let's hear it.
Oh, man, it's an amazing story of restoration and redemption, man. I grew up in the great state of New Jersey, great big goals and dreams and ambitions to rescue my mom and my sister from a poverty-stricken life. And, you know, my dad left when I was 8 years old, and, you know, we struggled a lot financially. My mom gave us everything she possibly could from, you know, a moral perspective and instilled great faith into us. Make a long story short, my dream and my goal was to rescue my mom and my sister and get us away from this poverty-stricken life. And I was going to do it one of two ways. I was either going to become a pro athlete or I was going to become a professional rapper. And the rap career didn't work out too well for me. But basketball took me out to a school in Tulsa, Oklahoma called Oral Roberts University, ORU. And freshman year with big goals and dreams to play basketball, I actually threw away my story, man. I made one decision that radically changed everything. There was a cute girl on campus. She got pregnant. It was my kid. That was frowned upon. They told us, hurry up and get married. We got married. We were divorced in 6 to 8 months later. And I was in a custody battle in the fight of my life to be a dad. Threw away my story. Ended up suicidal, depressed, oppressed, over $400,000 in debt. And the fight of my life to be a dad, but most importantly, my fight of life, my life to live. And, you know, I'll never forget that time because I think there's people listening right now where they have a story. We all have a story that we create for our lives. Then what happens when your story doesn't end up exactly how you thought it should end up? Well, it took me to a dark place, but I was able to flip it when I enrolled in a Bible school called Victory Bible College. And I did some strategic things at that time that the Word of God says to do. And one of them was fitness. Fitness was a big part of it. It wasn't everything, don't get me wrong. But it was definitely a part of me making a transformation. And when I was able to flip that, create a new story, man, God absolutely took that story and allowed me then to make that most painful time of my life my purpose. I went on to become the youngest strength coach in the nation, trained some of the top athletes in the entire world for years. And I've been so blessed to be in the fitness space, the personal development space, like you mentioned earlier, write 6 books and just now take my story and empower other people to absolutely not be defined by the mistakes you might make in life.
Good.
Coach JC, when you enrolled in that Victory Bible College, there was one class in particular that changed your life. What was being taught in that class and why was it so impactful for you?
Well, absolutely. That's a great question. And the one class was all about transformation of the mindset. And I honestly learned, it was a Bible verse, Romans 12:2, that says, do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as I sat in that class, I realized at that moment that most of my issues and my problems in life were because I was being conformed to the things of this world, the past guilt that I was living with, the shame, the condemnation, the worry, the doubt, and all those things. But when I realized that you could, just like you train your body, train your mind, and there's biblical principles for you to train your mind, I started to renew my mind on a daily basis. And there is such power in the mind. And that was the Bible verse, Romans 12:2, that radically changed my life. And I actually created a whole blueprint based around that Bible verse called Creating the Winning Mindset that I use this day in my coaching models and in speaking.
JC, Coach JC is with us here. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes. All right, Coach JC, we know we've got a seminar that's going to be featured tomorrow night, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But we just want, when we get back here, what I want you to do, JC, is give some hope to people, because I think there's this small sliver that are into full-on life coach. We get to the gym. We're disciplined. The vast majority of people are hanging on or feeling condemnation, and we want to give first steps for how do we get this bod really submitted to the lordship of God in our life and let him take control. Coach JC coming up.
His name is Jonathan Connealy, CoachJC.com. If you want to check him out on the web, CoachJC.com.
Coming up straight ahead.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
His name's Jonathan Connealy. They call him Coach JC.
He's an entrepreneur, author, life coach, performance coach. He is all about faith and fitness.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Coach JC, man, let's jump into this. A lot of people feel condemnation. And I feel like when it comes to fitness, you either got those that are in the groove or those that feel like I'm not in it and I'm never going to get there and I'm never going to get victory. Would you speak hope into folks before you give some practical advice here, JC?
Man, absolutely. You know, I think the first thing, you know, in 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, do not neglect the gift that is inside of you. And if you're listening right now, I just want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. You have a gift inside of you. You are placed on this earth with a purpose, for a purpose. So whatever you're facing right now in your physical body, we speak life to. And you got to make a decision today to just say, you know what? I'm going to let the past be the past. I am not going to be conformed to the things of this world, but I am going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And you got to start today to say, you know what? I'm going to start to see beyond my current situation. I'm not going to be moved by what I see in the natural. And then I'm going to make what's in front of me bigger than what's behind me. I'm going to make that calling and that purpose and who I could be inside of me greater than my greatest excuse. And I am super excited that I believe today people are creating a new vision for their body and for their life, and a new purpose of why they got to get up, why they got to move, because they know they are here on purpose with a purpose, and that God has a calling, and they are here with a mission. They got to fulfill their destiny. So I'm excited about this new vision that people are creating today for their physical body.
JC, let's get some practical tips here. COVID was difficult for a lot of people. There was, you know, a lot of sedentary, kind of forced being sedentary. There was some weight gain that crept up on a lot of us. What are some practical tips for people who are kind of emerging from this COVID landscape and wanting to get healthy?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first tip is this. Obviously, we know as human beings, faith without works is dead, and you cannot be moved by emotions, right? So I think every single day you got to make a decision, just like you brush your teeth, just like you do all the other things. You got to start to schedule into your daily routine that fitness is going to be a non-negotiable. And when I say fitness, I'm talking about working out. I'm talking about exercising. I'm talking about eating healthy. I'm talking about making some health lifestyle decisions that you know are going to benefit your life. And I think the number one thing where most people fail is they're led by emotions. And they say, I'll get around to it when it happens. And we all know when we say that, it never happens.
Yeah, it's true.
I think the most important thing is to schedule and just say, you know what? It's non-negotiable. I don't want to be a statistic. I know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I know that maybe he's trying to take me out of my health. So from here on out, I'm not going to get overwhelmed, and I'm not going to make it so complex. I don't need to work out 10 hours a day or an hour a day. What if you just got up and said, I'm going to get up 10 minutes earlier, and I'm just going to move for 10 minutes a day, and I'm just going to start to change my eating habits. But you've got to plan it. You've got to schedule it. And you've got to have a playbook, a game plan. So you've got to put it into your daily schedule. It's got to become a priority to you. If not, you're going to be led by emotions and feelings. And we all know that it's hard to win in life when you're led by emotions.
Big time. Coach JC, one last question for you here. How important is it to surround yourself with good company that's going to keep you on track, people that are speaking life into you? This has got to be vital, is it not, bro?
It's an absolute game changer. It's actually one of our five pillars in how we coach within the church when it comes to fitness and winning in life. It's absolutely crucial. And that's one of the things you can do immediately if you feel defeated, if you feel like you're not motivated and you don't have it right now, is get accountability. And maybe it's join a gym. Maybe it's get three or four of your neighbors. Maybe it's get a group started at church and say, you know what? I'm aware right now that I'm not motivated. I'm aware I can't do this on my own. So I'm going to surround myself with other people where we know what the word of God says, iron sharpens iron. I think when you put yourself around people that don't always tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear, that's when you can win. So get in a group, get three or four of your friends together, join a gym, get around people that the standard when it comes to them winning in their health and their body, that it's a high standard. And you know what you'll do when you get an environment like that?
Yep.
You'll eventually be forced to raise your standard if you're in that environment long enough.
You're right on. Coach JC, you're right on about that. It's a rising tide and it floats all boats. All right, we have got something cool, Boom Crew. Tomorrow evening, big seminar hosted by 180 Chicago. I know something about these crazy people down there.
Yes.
I happen to be the lead pastor at this church, and one of our team members got a hold of JC. And as you can tell, he's a little bit lacking energy and enthusiasm, but we're going to get him fired up before tomorrow night. I promise you that.
The webinar is called Faith to Be Physically Fit. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you can text 180. It is being hosted by 180 Chicago, the church that Carl pastors. So text 180 to 312-274-9624. We'll get you the link so you can get signed up. Text 180 to 312-274-9624.
Coach JC, this guy is a firecracker, man.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
Boy, have we got a guest right now.
We've got Rob West, a familiar voice to you, host of nationally syndicated radio program MoneyWise Live, which you hear weekday afternoons right here on Moody Radio at 3 p.m. Also host of the MoneyWise Minute, president and spokesperson of Kingdom Advisors. He's had decades of experience in the finance business world.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Carl and Allie. It's great to be with you.
Okay, I'm hitting you cold. The whole Boom Crew knows this. You're going to get a tough question here. If you were going to splurge, Rob West, on something, I mean really splurge, Rob West. Don't make me call your wife. Don't make me call your wife, bro. If you were really going to splurge on something, what would the splurge be?
Oh, yeah, that's easy for me. Oh, so boy. I grew up in South Florida with on the water.
Uh-oh.
Fishing and diving, and it would involve a really nice center console sport fishing boat with twin Yamaha 250s on
buddy,
the back.
Center console, center
well,
console. Can you put a center console in a big Boston Whaler?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because let me tell you something. Is there a boat like a Boston Whaler out there for the seas? Oh, my word.
A classic.
Oh, my
absolutely.
Word.
That wasn't as
goodness.
Hard of a question as we thought
yeah,
it would be.
Here's a real problem. Here's a real problem.
Maybe, he maybe got I my should have pretended like it took me a little while.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Here's the problem. It got my water sport juices going.
Oh.
You just ruined me today, Rob. Boy. Oh, boy. Rob, we're asking a really important question, though. And this is it's fun to talk about this. But if you look at an inductive Bible study of this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6, of which you're so familiar with, godliness with contentment is great gain, and Paul's mentoring Timothy, and he's saying, listen, the desire to get rich is going to derail you spiritually.
Yeah.
Is that true? And have you seen that to be true, Rob, that the desire alone, not even having money, but the desire for it really is a killer?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if something is going to dethrone God from his rightful place and first position in our lives, I think what we see clearly throughout Scripture is it's most often going to be money, the things that money can buy, wealth, material possessions. It has the ability to grip us in a way that nothing else does, in my experience. And I think we see that time and time again. I mean, you know, Jesus addressed this so often. You can't serve God and mammon. You've got to choose. Well, why did he put money right alongside choosing God? I think because it's that thing that competes for our heart. And, you know, we have got to fight against that, you know, and I think going to First Timothy, where you all have been today, we see really clearly three things: that we're to enjoy what God's given us. Well, that's good news, right? Because what God has entrusted to us, he wants us to enjoy it. So we don't need to feel bad about, you know, making memories with our family and within the context of biblical principles, enjoying God's provision. But we also need to put that alongside providing. And then the third big idea is this idea of contentment that you're talking about, which we know is learned based on the Apostle Paul. But when we can get there, then I think we experience the freedom and the joy that God intended.
Now, Rob, a lot of times when we talk about money, making good, sound financial decisions where you start doing investing, things like that can also derail you. If you start becoming preoccupied with stocks and how your portfolio is doing, how do you strike that balance between being responsible steward and not kind of tipping over to that other side of letting that control you?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, Allie. And I think it really comes down to heart motivation. Why are we doing what we're doing? And ultimately, where have we placed our trust? And, you know, this is a revealed to us so often when we get into a stock market correction, as all of a sudden we begin to realize, wait a minute, was my trust in my stock portfolio, in my bank account, or is my trust in my provider who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Remembering that right out of the gate, I have an abundance before the first dollar because he gave his son that I might be reconciled to him. That's everything. But then I move beyond that. I say, okay, God, you've entrusted to me whatever it is, however little or however much, and I want to use that for your purposes. And how is my heart being revealed in terms of what I place my value in? And what story am I telling when I use your money as to what's most important to me? And I think that's where we have to check ourselves.
Rob, coming up, is there any way short of crisis, crashing, brokenness, being humbled by God that we can learn this lesson? I want to answer that one because I think a lot of people are like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get this. And we go back sometimes again and again and again. So coming up, Rob West answering this question, how do we get there? How do we get to a point where we truly live in contentment?
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
One of our favorites with us right now, Rob West. We talk about this a lot here, Rob. You know, information is only as powerful as the receptacle that receives it. You can pour good information into a receptacle that just blows it off, right? You can blow it. This is why parents often get so frustrated with kids, because it's like we're giving you good information, but you're not doing anything productive with it. My contention is, apart from some level of brokenness and humbling by the hand of God, I don't know that we ever learn how to not let, in this case, the love of money or even the desire for money to govern our souls. Come on, you've been doing this a long time. I want to break it down, Rob. How do we learn these lessons apart from some level of brokenness?
Yeah, well, clearly, I mean, that's part of what God uses in our life as we're humbled to realize that we need to get to the end of ourselves and ultimately depend upon him solely, entirely, moving forward. But I think the other thing in this area of money, Carl and Allie, that my experience has taught me is that really generosity is the way you break the grip of money over our lives.
Hold it.
Is going to have a
time out. Right. This is profound because I'm big on this as a pastor and really a pastor in radio in a sense. My heart is to watch people walk free. You're telling me maybe not necessarily getting broken. I mean, really broken, bottom of the barrel, but choosing generosity can break the spell of the love of money.
Absolutely. Yeah. If we hold it loosely and we realize that that giving, that generosity is ultimately what breaks that grip over our lives of money, I think that's where real freedom is found. And, you know, until we begin to exercise that muscle and experience what Jesus had in mind when he said it's better to give than to receive, and what happens in our hearts when we're calibrated to the Father who is the ultimate giver, right? He gave everything.
Absolutely.
We're created in his image, so we're most like him when we're giving. that's when I think we begin to experience the freedom that comes from saying, wait a minute, there is so much more than trying to attain a certain level of wealth that ultimately is not going to satisfy or fulfill. King Solomon taught us that. He had all of it. And he said, it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fulfill. So there's got to be a bigger idea out there, and it's a generosity story, Carl.
Rob West, host of MoneyWise Live, with us right now. Now, Rob, you talk money every day on your program. What is the maybe the big two or three questions that you keep getting repeatedly kind of in this time that we're living at in? You have the your finger on the pulse of what people are talking about as it pertains to finances.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And there's a lot of similar questions that are coming in these days. I think one is just what do we do with our resources in terms of where we're heading as a nation? You know, we see these incredible debt levels and we continue to add trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. And is that going to mean that ultimately everything's going to come crumbling down? And should I pull my money out of the bank? I mean, so we can get into the fear cycle. And I think what we need to realize, Allie, is that ultimately what God has entrusted to us, what passes through our hands, is what we need to be responsible for. So it starts with our hearts. Do I recognize God owns it all? Do I understand what it means, what you all are talking about today, that I need to live with contentment? And then, am I applying biblical principles to manage what God's given me? So living within my means, avoiding the use of debt, having some margin or liquidity, setting long-term goals and giving generously. If I'm doing those five things, then I've done what I can do, because I can't control the U.S. GDP or the debt levels or the interest rates or the stock market. And ultimately, I'm placing my trust in God. I'm not operating out of a fear mentality. I think another big one is just the priority uses of God's money, because people are calling saying, Rob, do I pay down my debt or do I save, or do I save or do I give? And yes, you want to do all of it, but there is a priority order. And what's great is that God's given us 2,350 verses in scripture to deal with money and possessions. So we can actually see God's roadmap right in front of us in his word. And so I think, you know, when we apply that, we give first. We want to exercise that muscle because of everything we just said about what it does to our hearts. Then we want to start to set aside some margin. There's precious oil and treasure in the house of the wise. The foolish man swallows it up. So if you have some credit card debt, I'd save $1,500 to start your emergency fund. Then I'd attack that high interest credit card debt. Then I'd go back to the emergency fund and build up 3 months' expenses so you have a reserve, and then you kind of move right on from there. But it does all start with that generosity.
Rob, you mentioned it quickly. Just have a minute left. What were those five things that you mentioned that we should be doing with our money? Give it to us again.
Yeah, once you recognize God owns it all, there's five things. Spend less than you earn. Avoid the use of debt. Have some margin, meaning have some excess in your budget beyond what you're consuming. Set long-term goals and give generously.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.